Welcome to The Balanced Mind, the podcast dedicated to understanding emotion and achieving emotional maturity. We're going to dive deep into the roots of our feelings and ask a critical question. How can we manage emotion more effectively with greater wisdom? The goal is to help you grow in emotional intelligence, leading to a better quality of life and more fulfilling relationships in every area of your life, from your workplace to your closest friendships. I provide you with a practical toolkit and insights to help you navigate life's challenges with greater emotional maturity and resilience. How's it, guys? This is Dion Bicycle this side. I am a supportive counselor and I am dedicated to helping you achieve a better quality of life. Welcome to The Balanced Mind. Let's dive deep into today's episode. So I want to start by saying I want you to list out of a powerful image. Imagine a man, a millionaire, he's standing in front of a massive warehouse, a storehouse overflowing with fresh bread. You aren't dare to steal from him. You aren't even dare to ask for a handout. You are there simply looking for an opportunity to perhaps just to listen, to learn, or to contribute to this gentleman. But when you approach him, he looks at you with fear in his eyes. He clutches his keys and says, "You know what, I can't help you. If I give you everything that I have or just a little bit of it, then I will go hungry myself. I can't help you. Please. Please move on." You see, this is the millionaire's myth. It is a virus that lives in the hearts of people and large organizations. In our modern world, we often assume that those with the most resources are the most generous, but often the opposite is true. When an organization or a leader gives you a cold shoulder, it isn't because they lack the resources to give you a seat at the table. It's because they are terrified of their own inadequacy. They see you're hungry for an opportunity as a threat to their board. They don't want you there. They don't see your potential. They only see a mouth they need to feed. But there is something that hurts even more than that. That hurts even more than just a simple no. It is when you finally find the courage to open your heart in what you thought was a safe place. You share your circumstance, your desire to grow, or your need for a break. And the response you get is this: "Oh, shame. Oh, you know what? I am so sorry to hear you. I really feel for you. Oh, shame, man. Oh, such a pity." On the surface, those are kind words, but you feel it, can't you? You can see in their eyes, they aren't really, truly sorry. It's a polite shield they hold up. It's a scripted response designed to end the conversation. The shame isn't an expression of empathy. It's a stay away signal. Your bad news is a way for them to say, I hear you, but I will not carry this with you. I'm not going to help you. So don't come even any closer. When this happens, it causes a literal pain in your chest. I've heard many of the clients describe it. It's a tightness, it's a dull ache right behind the breastbone. And there is a biological reason for this. Research done by a neuroscientist, Dr. Naomi Eisenberger, has shown that social rejection and dismissive empathy activate the same part of the brain that causes us to feel and experience pain. That registers physical pain. To your nervous system, a fake sorry or a fake empathy is not just a disappointment. It is a physical blow. So why does this happen? Why do organizations treat someone seeking an opportunity like a beggar, asking for the last few scraps? It is a fundamental misreading of who you are. When you ask for a chance to be listened or to be involved, you are offering your time, your energy, and your future. But through the lens of a cold organization, they only see your lack, the thing you don't have. They see that you can't bring anything to the table, you will be a burden to us. That's the lack they see. They project their own poverty and spirit onto you. They treat you like you're a begging for scraps because they are too small-minded to see that you are actually offering a partnership. We felt the sting of the millionaire, the one who are able to help you, but you don't want to beg, and you say that I can do something for you, and he slams the door in your face and says, but if I give something to you, I go hungry. And we looked at the locked, hollow door of shame, of dismissive responses at organizations, not seeing what you're giving, because what you're giving can benefit them, but when they look at you, they see that you are a risk. So they look over the potential. But why do even the organizations we trust, the one that claim to be safe, why do they hold us at an arm's length? Like, I forgot to mention that if I sound different days, I really struggle with flu, and so if I mispronounce words or I struggle to pronounce, You are welcome to laugh at me, when I'm laughing at myself here, yeah. But I really want this message to get to you. So now I want to talk about the specific moment that happens in these organizations. You walk in and the atmosphere feels so welcoming. There are smiles all around. There is a sense of a safe space, and you feel encouraged to be yourself just by being in that atmosphere. But then the moment comes, you open your heart, you don't ask for money, you certainly don't ask for a handout. You simply say, I am looking for an opportunity. I want to listen. I want to learn. And I want to grow. And in a heartbeat, that warm smile turns back into a block of ice. It's a whiplash effect. The second you are a guest, a peer, a human being, the next second, because you admitted you have a goal or a need for an opening, they glaze you with eyes, wondering, what does this person want from us? They stop seeing the person and start seeing the problem. They treat your request for an opportunity as if you just asked them for the last bit of crumbs of a bread in their basket. It feels like you've been slammed while your hands were open. This is where the shame comes in. When people in these organizations see your hunger for opportunity, they make them deeply uncomfortable. Why? Because the real opportunity requires commitment. It's easy to smile at someone when everything is fine. It's much harder to look someone in the eye and say, you know what, you have potential, let's find a way. So to protect themselves from having the actual do something, they pull up the drawbridge. They give you the cold shoulder, not because you are a beggar, but because you are emotionally lazy. They use the word shame, the shame response, to push you back into a box where you came from. They want to keep you in the category of someone to feel worried for, rather than someone to work with. By treating you like a beggar, they give themselves permission to ignore you. It is a defense mechanism for their own smallness. This causes that pain in your chest that we talked about in the first segment. The pain comes from misalignment. You know you are a man or woman of value. You know you have something to offer, but the organization is reflecting a lie back to you. They are looking at a lion and treading it like a stray dog looking for scraps. When there is a gap between who you are and how they see you, it creates a physically, a psychological tear. You feel dismissed, not because of what you said, but because of the coldness they close to use as a shield. They would much rather give you a shame ah for you than give you a seat at the table to hear what you can bring. Because a seat at the table requires them to acknowledge your equality, to say, you know what, you are a person and you have value, but they don't want to commit by saying, you know what, they don't want to listen to you because it's going to cost something of them and they are not prepared to pay that price, and so they rather say, oh shame, poor you, you can stay there, stay away. If you felt a cold smile, I want you to know the coldness is not yours, it is theirs. You didn't lose your value because you've asked. They lost the humanity of the moment. They refused to hear you out. Silence is designed to make you feel like the problem. A problem that needs to be solved rather than a person with a future. Before we move into action, I want you to sit with the weight of what we've discussed. Think about the energy we've spent trying to fit into boxes that were built to keep you out. Think about the nights you spent staring at your phone, waiting for that one WhatsApp that says, yes, you're in, from a person who doesn't even remember your name. That energy is a finite resource, and right now you are leaking it into a vacuum. Every moment, every minute you spend wondering why they didn't call is a minute you aren't spending building your empire. But the table doesn't build itself. It requires tools, and more importantly, it requires sovereignty. You cannot think your way out of a soul wound. You have to work your way out of it. It's time to move from being a case study for someone else's NGO or business and report to being that architect of your own reality. We are moving from the waiting room to the workshop. No more arch shame. No more vertical relationships where you are at the bottom. We are leveling the field today. I am not here to give you a motivation. A motivation is a feeling that evaporates the moment you hit traffic or get another rejection email. I'm here to give you a mandate. I want you to to do three specific things this week to start laying the foundation for your own table. These aren't suggestions. They are the blueprints of your freedom. Firstly, we're going to talk about the value of the audit. In other words, the mirror of truth. Stop looking at your CV as a list of things you want to do. That puts you in the position of a beggar. Start looking at yourself as a solution provider. If you are a designer, you aren't looking for work. You are a specialist who fixes broken branding. If you are an organizer, you are the one who solves operational chaos. If you are a driver, you are a logistic expert. Here's the action. Take a blank piece of paper on the left. Write down three biggest problems you see in your community or industry. And on the right, write three exactly how you can fix them. This is your new resume. It's not about your history. It's about your utility. When you walk into a room, you aren't asking for a job. You are identifying a leak and offering to fix it. Secondly, reclaiming your time. If an organization has kept you in the waiting room for more than 2 weeks without a word, the silence is your answer. Don't wait for them to give you permission to move on. Their silence is a form of control. Break it. Take action. Send one final email, a professional email. I am withdrawing my application for this role to pursue other opportunities that align with my timeline and values. The moment you hit send, you aren't the one who was ghosted. You are the one who walked away. You are the one who decided your time was too valuable to be spent in their digital storeroom. You give yourself the closure they were too cowardly to provide an answer. You take back the steering wheel, and you are in control. Thirdly, is the power of the collective. That ice-cold smile thrives on isolation. It wants you to like who you are, the only one failing, the only one struggling. But look around, there is a whole army of lions standing outside the gate, all looking around. Reach out to one person this week, someone who you've been through the same fire. Don't go to them to complain. Go to them to collaborate. Say, I'm building a project and I want your brain on it. I want your thoughts. The table starts with two chairs and a shared mission. When we stop looking up at the gatekeepers and start looking across at each other, the gatekeepers become irrelevant. The lions don't need the gatekeepers' permission to form a pride. They do it on its own. So let's conclude today's episode. As we wrap up this episode, I want you to remember one thing. The world will try to convince you are too much, so that they will give you too little. They will try to keep you in the shame category, because pity is a vertical relationship. Pity allows them to stay above you while they hand you the crumb. But you weren't born for pity. You were born for purpose. The ice-cold smile you encountered wasn't a wall. It was a signpost. It was the universe telling you that you've outgrown that room. You can't fit a lion in a birdcage and expect him to be happy. You can't expect a forest dweller to thrive in a desert. He's gonna die, because he knows how to survive in the woods, but not in the desert. Don't be at the freezer for being cold. Just be glad you finally realize you don't belong in it. You know more. You know better. You are a man and a woman of worth. You are a person of power. Your value is not variable that fluctuates based on the corporate HR department's response in time. Your worth was decided long before you walked into that lobby. It was woven into your DNA. You were born with it. Thank you for listening to this journey. If this episode spoke to your heart, if it hit that spot in your chest that's been tight for months, then share it. Talk to it. Share it with someone who is currently sitting in the lobby, staring at a mission statement on the wall, wondering why they feel so small. Tell them to stand up. Tell them to walk out. Tell them we're building something better outside. And there's a seat waiting for them at the table they actually helped build. And if you need someone to talk to, why not contact me? Together we will form a plan, a strategy to help you move, to use your talents, to use what you have to survive. My name is Dion Bicycle. This has been the first step. The lobby is behind you. The world is in front of you. Now, go and be a lion where you were always meant to be, and build your future on your own, and own your own space. Until we meet again. Silence is designed to make you feel like the problem. A problem that needs to be solved rather than a person with a future. Before we move into action, I want you to sit with the weight of what we've discussed. Think about the energy we've spent trying to fit into boxes that were built to keep you out. Think about the nights you spent staring at your phone, waiting for that one WhatsApp that says, "Yes, you're in," from a person who doesn't even remember your name. That energy is a finite resource, and right now you are leaking it into a vacuum. Every moment, every minute you spend wondering why they didn't call is a minute you aren't spending building your empire. But the table doesn't build itself. It requires tools, and more importantly, it requires sovereignty. You cannot think your way out of a soul wound. You have to work your way out of it. It's time to move from being a case study for someone else's NGO or business and report to being that architect of your own reality. We are moving from the waiting room to the workshop. No more arch shame. No more vertical relationships where you are at the bottom. We are leveling the field today. I am not here to give you a motivation. A motivation is a feeling that evaporates the moment you hit traffic or get another rejection email. I'm here to give you a mandate. I want you to do three specific things this week to start laying the foundation for your own table. These aren't suggestions, they are the blueprints of your freedom. Firstly, we're going to talk about the value of the audit. In other words, the mirror of truth. Stop looking at your CV as a list of things you want to do. That puts you in the position of a beggar. Start looking at yourself as a solution provider. If you are a designer, you aren't looking for work. You are a specialist who fixes broken branding. If you are an organizer, you are the one who solves operational chaos. If you are a driver, you are a logistic expert. Here's the action. Take a blank piece of paper on the left. Write down three biggest problems you see in your community or industry. And on the right, write three exactly how you can fix them. This is your new resume. It's not about your history. It's about your utility. When you walk into a room, you aren't asking for a job. You are identifying a leak and offering to fix it. Secondly, reclaiming your time. If an organization has kept you in the waiting room for more than 2 weeks without a word, the silence is your answer. Don't wait for them to give you permission to move on. Their silence is a form of control. Break it. Take action. Send one final email, a professional email. I am withdrawing my application for this role to pursue other opportunities that align with my timeline and values. The moment you hit send, you aren't the one who was ghosted. You are the one who walked away. You are the one who decided your time was too valuable to be spent in their digital storeroom. You give yourself the closure they were too cowardly to provide an answer. You take back the steering wheel, and you are in control. Thirdly, is the power of the collective. That ice-cold smile thrives on isolation. It wants you to like who you are, the only one failing, the only one struggling. But look around. There is a whole army of lions standing outside the gate, all looking around. Reach out to one person this week, someone who you've been through the same fire. Don't go to them to complain. Go to them to collaborate. Say, I'm building a project and I want your brain on it. I want your thoughts. The table starts with two chairs and a shared mission. When we stop looking up at the gatekeepers and start looking across at each other, the gatekeepers become irrelevant. The lions don't need the gatekeepers' permission to form a pride. They do it on its own. So let's conclude today's episode. As we wrap up this episode, I want you to remember one thing. The world will try to convince you you are too much, so that they will give you too little. They will try to keep you in the category, because pity is a vertical relationship. Pity allows them to stay above you while they hand you the crumb. But you weren't born for pity. You were born for purpose. The ice-cold smile you encountered wasn't a wall. It was a signpost. It was the universe telling you that you've outgrown that room. You can't fit a lion in a birdcage and expect him to be happy. You can't expect a forest dweller to thrive in a desert. He's gonna die. Because he knows how to survive in the woods, but not in the desert. Don't be at the freezer for being cold. Just be glad you finally realize you don't belong in it. You know more. You know better. You are a man and a woman of worth. You are a person of power. Your value is not variable that fluctuates based on the corporate HR department's response in time. Your worth was decided long before you walked into that lobby. It was woven into your DNA. You were born with it. Thank you for listening to this journey. If this episode spoke to your heart, if it hit that spot in your chest that's been tight for months, then share it. Talk to it. Share it with someone who is currently sitting in the lobby, staring at a mission statement on the wall, wondering why they feel so small. Tell them to stand up. Tell them to walk out. Tell them we're building something better outside. And there's a seat waiting for them at a table they actually helped build. And if you need someone to talk to, why not contact me? Together we will form a plan, a strategy to help you move, to use your talents, to use what you have to survive. My name is Dion Bicycle. This has been the first step. The lobby is behind you. The world is in front of you. Now, go and be a lion where you were always meant to be and build your future on your own and own your own space. Until we meet again.